is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the wash of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a glorious day it is as we delve into the Word of God. You know, we're going to continue our series. And I love this series because, well, it reveals exactly what's lacking in the New Age movement today and why only true Christianity and faith in Jesus Christ can fill the deep void within the heart of every New Ager, every occultist. You've got something to offer these folks. They don't think you do. They think you're so dumb and unsophisticated and ignorant as to believe in that old-time religion. Hey, listen, friends. Don't worry about what they act like or if they think they're smug and superior. They need your help. Believe me. We should feel sorry for the New Agers. And we're going to be looking, and today we're going to get into at least the first and maybe the second reasons why you should feel sorry for New Agers, those caught up in the New Age movement. Hey, I hope you'll write to us and let us know that you enjoy this program. So many of you have written, and some of you are good enough to send us love gifts that keep this on the air. Some folks even have been led by the Holy Spirit to send us tithes and offerings. We appreciate that. And just remember us, would you? When it comes time, you know, the United Way and some of those agencies are getting so decadent and bad nowadays. Promoting homosexuality and abortion. You never know where your money goes. But listen, friends, when you put your money into the Word of God, it will be an eternal legacy. Now, I'm not going to tell you that God is going to make you rich or give you back tenfold or a hundredfold like some of the prosperity teachers do. But I can tell you this much. You will get a lot more out of it than you put into it. Oh, is that prosperity gospel? No, not at all. That's a promise by God. The Bible even says for us to be a cheerful giver. And I do believe you cannot outgive God. And you know, there are a lot of things in my life I would like to have above money. You would like me to name them for you? Well, I'm just not going to take the time. If you can't think of things you'd rather have than money, then something is wrong with you. You know what I want? I want security. I want peace. I want happiness. I want joy. I want contentment. I want the love of fellow Christians and the love of God more than anything. That's just a small list. I could continue on with a lot of things. Eternal life, it's waiting too for those whom Jesus Christ has chosen as his own and who've repented their sins and turned to him for eternal life. Yes, my friends. And I believe if you give to God's work, he will reward you. Isn't eternal life good enough? If that was all that you got, isn't that enough? And by the way, just to prove that I guess I am a little bit of a prosperity teacher, the Bible does talk about some wonderful places up in heaven waiting for you. Might be a little delayed. You know, there's a lot of people who put money into retirement funds, into annuities, and save money, and they invest money. And they say, well, when I get old, I'll have this money to spend. I'll delay self-gratification now in order to have more ability to live my life well later on. That's fine and good if you can afford to do that. Put some money aside or something. Well, you see, I believe, first of all, we don't give to get. But on the other hand, God loves us so much that he has made certain promises to us. He is going to give us things. He has never said, give me and I'll give you. In fact, he said, I am going to give myself for you. He gave himself on the cross. And then he turns around after that and said, I've already given myself on the cross. Now believe in me and I'll give you eternal life and all of these things in heaven. I don't think it's fair for God to be that good. I don't. It is not an equal exchange. You know, they say that that's the very principle of business. To give a man or a woman something they want and they believe they've profited and you've profited. Both sides are of mutual benefit. But God gives you something, and it seems to me, but again, I don't have the mind of Christ. I realize that. I cannot understand everything, but I understand enough to know this. He's given you more than you could ever give him. So don't say, well, I'm going to give this money to God and then up in heaven I'll have more. That's not the principle at all. In fact, if you say that, you probably won't get as much. You give to God and to God's work simply because you want to do it. You're a cheerful giver. You believe in the kingdom of God and you want other people to have the joy, contentment, and love and peace that you have. You give to God's work because you want to see God's work prosper, not yourself. You say, I don't care about myself, but I want to see God's work prosper. And the strangest thing happens. God will still reward you in ways that your bank account may not show, but they'll be greater than your bank account. You're going to leave your bank account behind when you go to heaven. Think of the rewards there. I mean, just in material rewards, not for what you've given to God, but because of what he gave for you. You see, you could give $10 million and I could give $1 million in gifts over the years and tithes, if you count them all up over and over and add all the interest and everything. But you don't necessarily get 10 times more than me in heaven. Maybe I get more than you in heaven. Have you ever thought of that? It's possible. The little widow who gave 2 mites, she gave more than all the rich people. They beat on their breast and said, look how much I've given to God's work. And I'm sure the little widow said, have mercy on me, a sinner. Hey, I expect she's going to have a bigger mansion than Tex Mars in heaven. God even wrote about her in the Bible. Can you believe that? She's famous. For eternity, she's going to be talked about for what she did by giving her 2 little mites. I don't know how much money a mite is, my friends, but it probably isn't very much. She probably had to forego a few meals. Maybe she was even already at that time living on the streets as a beggar, for all we know. But what she had, she gave to God. I'm not telling you to make yourself in poverty and impoverish yourself. I don't want you to cash your Social Security check and send it to me. Don't do that. I'm not asking that. But if God leads you, give what you can. Help us here. We appreciate it. And we will use it for the glory of God. Everything you send here will go into Bible Home Church's treasury, you might say, as little as it is. And we will use it for the glory of God. And I think God will reward you. And if you're saved, you've already been rewarded. You were given something before you ever gave. See, that's where the prosperity teachers are wrong. Before you ever gave anything to God's work, he chose you and saved you and gave you his love and eternal life. He never said, put so much money in the offering plate. He never said, give to Tex Mars's work, and I'll reward you, did he? He just said, believe in me, and I shall give you eternal life. Let me tell you something, friends. You may think that you didn't have to pay anything for that, but that's not true. While you didn't pay anything, it doesn't at all mean that somebody didn't pay something. There was a great price paid for your salvation. And Jesus is worth more than all of we earthlings combined. I would give up my life for, if it were possible, that one drop of blood not be spilled of Jesus Christ. I would wish that the whole world would perish before Jesus would suffer for 1 millisecond on the cross. But you know what? There again, I don't have the exact mind of Christ, because what we would never do as Christians, perhaps he did for us. And he did it without getting anything in return. There are a lot of people out there that even reviled and despised and spit on the name of Jesus Christ. And yet God's Holy Spirit reached to them. They believed in him and they were saved. They repented of their sins and he gave something to them. They had nothing to give him. Even if they were filthy rich, he didn't want any of that. God can make more riches. But listen, you're going to be rewarded someday, even though you'll be rewarded for nothing you've given. Nothing you give can give you eternal life. Nothing that you have given in your whole life to the church or whatever can earn for you eternal life. That is because Jesus chose you. What a wonderful God we serve. Well, we're going to have these eight reasons. If you want to write to us, send us your love gifts. It's not required. We're still going to love you anyway. That's right. And if you, even if you send us, don't send us a dime. If you send us a letter, say, I don't have any money, but I want you to pray for me. Guess what? We'll pray for you anyway. We'll pray for you as much as we pray for anyone. And now, we're going to have a beautiful song. I love, you know, we're talking about heaven and the rewards in heaven that you're going to get. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And guess what? It's a mansion. And the roads up there are made of gold. And that's not just a rumor. That's not just a legend. That's true. And you know, this group even calls itself Gold City. They're not talking about San Francisco Gold Rush, the 49ers, or anything like that. They're not talking about north to Alaska, the way an old singer used to sing about go up there and get your gold. They're talking about that city of gold. This is the name of a group. Southern Gospel group called Gold City. Listen close to this song. If you really love Jesus, I bet it might even make you shed a few tears. It's called Midnight Cry by Gold City. And then after that, we begin with message, the first message we have in eight reasons why we should feel sorry for New Agers today.
Christ comes again.
The fact is that one of the biggest obstacles we're facing today in this world is the New Age movement. The New Age movement. I've written so much about the New Age movement. And today we're going to listen, I pray that you will, to a talk I gave at Cornerstone World Outreach Center in Springfield, Missouri, some time ago. My topic was sort of unique. It was different. It was entitled, 8 Reasons Why We Should Feel Sorry for New Agers. Now, no matter where you live, in Springfield, Missouri, or Austin, Texas, or Alamogordo, New Mexico, you're going to come into contact with a New Age movement. I have a feeling that it's already affected many of the families listening to me out there. You'll find it in your churches. You'll find it in your community. You'll find it in your schools. You'll find it in medicine. And so I gave this talk to emphasize the fact we need not fear the New Age movement, and we certainly should not despise or hate the victims of the New Age movement that are caught up in it. We should feel sorry for them. Really, the answer is education and knowledge. The Bible says that God's people perish without knowledge.
The pastor invited me here. I'd already understood that he had come down pretty hard on these New Agers and their teachings. And, you know, I believe it's because he has a heart for God and he hated to see souls that are lost. And that's the bad thing about the New Age movement. There are people who are being lost to the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And that, no doubt, saddened your pastor's heart. And he went on TV, I understand, caused a little bit of flack. Some folks called, complained. I don't think he stopped his message. He just, you know, probably made him go on even more. Hey, you're doing good when they start feeling it. Boy, let me tell you, something's happening. Well, he asked me to come here, and I knew that y'all already got the basics. I mean, you already know about Shirley MacLaine and all that California zany stuff. That doesn't happen anyway here, does it? Not in Missouri. And I asked myself, what can I do to help? For one thing, now, I tell you, I am pretty hard on them. And I had a sermon prepared. It was called The 8 Lies of the New Age. The 8 Lies of the New Age. Now, they are liars because their father is the father of it. But, you know, I'm beginning to get soft on the New Age. That's right, folks. You may have heard I was hard, but I tell you, I began working on this message for today. And you know, God just softened my heart. I had to change the title. 8 Reasons Why We Should Feel Sorry for the New Agers. That's right. There are 8 reasons why we should feel sorry for the New Agers, why we should pray for them, why we should petition God for them, why we should witness to them, why we should love them. I'm getting to be a salty pastor. I really am. And some of these actually made me cry. 8 reasons why we should feel sorry for those in the New Age. Yes, they lie. Yes, souls are lost. Yes, some of them hate you. They think you're uncouth, ignorant, unsophisticated, a holy roller. I told the church this morning, if I'm a holy roller, just roll right on by. Enjoy it all the way. Take your roller skates to church even. But anyway, I'm one of those old timers, see, I guess. Or maybe I just started going to a church like this in Austin, Texas. I don't know which. But 8 reasons we should feel sorry for those in the New Age. The first one I think is more important than any. Although they're all important. First of all, they don't have a personal God. Oh, they believe in the Force. Remember George Lucas, Star Wars? May the Force be with you. He was very much an avid, is today, a very avid, fervent New Age believer. Rebellious against God. They don't have a personal God. Their God is some kind of a hazy force, an energy force. They don't even really have a name. They may call him the divine presence, the great architect of the universe, or just spirit. They don't like Holy Spirit. but just spirit. And, you know, the Hindus and their New Agers have 3 million gods and goddesses. Hey, how could you even ever learn all those names? Take you forever. Now, Carl Jung, the psychiatrist, and basically all of psychology today, it was Skinner behavioralism, but now we have a different kind of psychology that's prominent. I have to tell them one, I was at a conference down in Florida, and it was Christian psychologists from all over the United States, Christian counselors came there. And I knew I had a problem right away when I walked in the auditorium. I was the only one with a Bible. You ever had that feeling, go to church, you're the only one with a Bible? Christian counselors and psychologists from all over the United States, and they wanted me to talk about the New Age, and I was the only one with a Bible. Maybe there might have been a gentleman or two, I don't know, I didn't see any. And I told them, I held up my Bible and I said, if this is not your number one counseling guide, if this isn't what you tell people should be their reliable, authoritative guide for daily living, you're not a Christian counselor. Oh, that's right. Well, I was supposed to speak twice, and the nice gentleman who was host down there, it paid my way all the way to Florida, sort of. It was in the winter, nice vacation. He came up to me, he really did, and he said, we'd prefer you not to speak the second night. I said, that's okay. They heard enough the first time. I mean, God says you don't have to give them a lot of vain repetitions. No, I was really nice to him. I thanked him. Juan and I enjoyed a little vacation there in Florida during the winter. I was glad it wasn't during the summer. I mean, I can come to Springfield in the summer. But you see, there is this perversion today that this book is not everything, but it is everything. Well, they believe, you see, in God as you understand Him. This is the God of the New Age. I call it the 12 steps God. Choose your own God. You know, in the Bible, God got real furious at the people who, the Bible tells us, every man did what was right in his own eyes. In Ezekiel, he says, they worshiped they use visualization, folks. In the chambers of their own minds, they conceived gods. I feel sorry for them. Impersonal gods, gods of their own, the figments of their own imagination. But our God is the God you can reach out to, and He's there. You just call on Him, and He's there. What a privilege this is. And they don't have that. And we should feel sorry for them. And I'm not being facetious. I debated New Agers across this country. New York City, Miami, I don't even know all the places, Cincinnati. And I was on one program debating this. She was really a brilliant woman, probably the best I've seen. We were on this radio talk show, the number one talk show, secular, in the state of Texas. And there were so many calls coming in. We were supposed to go an hour, and then they extended it to two. And then the host during the break said, can y'all stay a third hour? The phones are going crazy. So we said, yes, we'll stay a third hour. Now, she was getting a little tired. I think the demons were getting worn out in her. She looked sort of distressed when he said third hour, but, you know, she didn't want to. But, you know, wrestle with God, what can I say? I mean, I had the Holy Spirit in me. So, anyway, I've noticed she kept saying, I have God within. I have God within. So finally, about the third hour, I said, on the air, what is the name of your God within? She said, a name? She got all frustrated. Rattled. Name? I said, yeah, what is the name of your God? Every God has a name. If you got a God within, what is His name? She said, well, He doesn't have a name. He doesn't have a name. I said, oh, yes, He does. And it starts with L. And it's not Lucy. That's right. But she didn't know, you see. She had some impersonal, some hazy God. And I really did feel sorry for her. Some of them, they call them walk-ins. I don't know what they, but anyway, they're not a personal God. And they have no one to call on in time of need. Well, there is a second reason why we should feel sorry for those in the New Age. And that is simply that they have demons as everyday companions. Oh, they can call them wise old persons. They can call them their higher self, ascended masters, the hierarchy, my inner guide, my spirit guide, just old-fashioned demons. You know that. You know, Jay-Z Knight, who channels this Ramtha spirit, Ramtha has said things like, quote, in Lucifer lies divineness. I think I can do without that kind of advice from my spirit guide friend.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.